That's right. Have fun. Be good. If you can only do one of them, just be good. Daughter-in-law, we're going to have a chat later. You're not as scared of me? If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll get there in just a little bit. We've been talking about faith, and just kind of a refresher here. We walk by faith when we listen carefully to God and do what he says in spite of what we may see in the natural. And we trust God completely to fulfill his promises. And our faith can grow as we study the word, as we pray, and as we simply ask God for more. And then last week we said that faith can face the facts and even have some doubts, but still chooses to believe. That's faith. Faith does not falter, but always believes that God will somehow work things out. And faith is fully persuaded God can and will do what he has promised. And we want to be people of faith. All right. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 25. And would you please stand as I read the scripture here, just a few verses. It's a familiar passage, I hope. It says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Okay. I could just stop right there and we'd be, wow. All right, but then it goes on. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. I understand that. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. All right, you may be seated. Let's talk about faith here. This is a good demonstration of faith. Jesus walking on water, and then Peter walks on water for a little bit too. I haven't done that yet, have you? Yeah. When I try to walk on water, I go under. But here Jesus and Peter both walked on water. And let me start with this thought. Faith requires confidence in your calling. Faith requires confidence in your calling. Jesus called Peter to get out of the boat. There was a calling. Peter didn't just presume and jump out of the boat, but he waited for the calling, and when Jesus called him, then he got out of the boat. You need to have confidence in your calling. Remember, we talked about the key to walking in faith is to listen. That's where it all begins. We have to listen. So what is God saying to you? What is his calling for you? And even in basic discipleship, Jesus says, come, follow me. There's a calling. Hebrews chapter 11 is, the faith chapter of the Bible. And in verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, he's the father of our faith, when called to go, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. There was a calling, and he went. Abraham went from the familiar to the unfamiliar. Okay? God called him from his home to go to someplace else. Peter went from safety in the boat to great risk on the water. And God often calls us to leave our comfort zone and step out into new territory. Now, our comfort zone could be circumstances that we've grown accustomed to. We all have them. Sometimes we even wish that things were different, but when it comes right down to it, the familiar, no matter how difficult, is more comfortable than the unknown. But God calls us out of our comfort zone. Your comfort zone could also be a matter of style or method. You know, the words, "this is the way it's always been done," can be a death sentence to a step of faith. Stepping out in faith will require some risk. God calls us out of our comfort zones. Gideon was a coward who was used to being the least, but God called him to be brave and to lead. Moses had a life of luxury in Pharaoh's palace, but God called him to lead the Israelites out of bondage. David was just a young shepherd, but God called him to be a warrior king. The disciples were simple fishermen, but Jesus called them to follow him and be fishers of men. God calls us out of our comfort zones. And those kind of callings require change. And change is often scary. But we can trust God. If he is leading us, we are in good hands. Okay? Better than the Allstate man. Hey, you're in good hands with God. We can have confidence in his call. Joshua 21:45 says, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." Every promise. I mean, most people would be happy with, 70% would be, that's pretty good. But God is 100%. Psalm 145:13 says, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." And then 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 says, "No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." We can have confidence in what God has said because God always keeps his promises. My niece, her name is Emily, shared a little something on Facebook this week about her daughter, and she titled it "Faith Like a Child," and her daughter's name is Blessing. She says, "While talking to Blessing about our special church service of healing tonight and how I was believing God had healed me, she started her own little sermon. 'Of course, Mom, you can pray to God for anything, and he will do it.'" Now, she's little. She goes on and says, "If you pray to God to heal you, then you're going to be healed. And even like if you really need more money or even a new car, God can do that too, Mom. Remember, it's like with Noah on the ark. Afterward, God promised he would never flood the earth again. And has he, Mom? No, he hasn't. Because God keeps his promises, and he promised to take care of us." Faith like a little child. Not a single doubt in her voice, 100%, matter of fact, unquestioned truth. Confident in God. Faith requires confidence in your calling. Whatever God has said, you can be confident in what he said. And then faith requires courage in your conduct. Remember, Peter was safe in the boat during a stormy night, but he got down out of the boat. That had to take some courage. I've mentioned my dad's rat trap, and I have it with me today. This will kill a rat. But if I promised you that you could trip the trigger and it wouldn't hurt you, would you trust me? Well, now I promise. No fingers crossed or anything. I promise you will not get hurt. Who will prove their faith in me? Hannah. Okay, you ready? Do it. Just you hit the little thing right there. Ready? Well done. She demonstrated her faith. The first time my dad pulled that on me, I wasn't sure I wanted to touch it. That was with my own dad. But I promised, and I kept my promise. And it took a little bit of courage. Is he for real? Does he know what he's doing? Did he really disarm the trap? You know, all of those questions. Courage. And really, fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is basically obeying God without knowing all the details, and that takes courage. We want to know all the details. I know I tend to be programmed that way. Hey, give me all the information. Let me think about it and weigh it out, and then maybe. But faith is obeying God without knowing all the details. That takes courage. And the opposite of obedience is rebellion, and rebellion is doing what I want to do regardless of what God might be saying. Faith takes courage, and faith, like obedience, requires action. Hannah demonstrated her faith in me by coming up here and actually putting her hand in the trap. That was action. James 2:18 talks about that. You have faith, I have deeds. Some will say, well, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Faith is going to come out in some action. There's going to be some conduct to prove your faith. Abraham, when called to go, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. That took courage. Can you imagine? He had already lived a lengthy life. He was in his retirement years. And God says, hey, I want you to pack it all up and move. And I'm not going to tell you exactly where. I'll let you know when we get there. What? That is way out of your comfort zone. And yet God did that. Going to a land that God will show us is basically stepping out into a future that only God knows about. He knows the future. And the future may look bleak and dim and may not meet our expectations, but if God calls us, we must be willing to go. That takes courage. And in times like that, we need to really take to heart Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of you could quote it. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Do you really believe that that is God's promise to you? Then have confidence in your call and courage in your conduct to go as God leads. I mentioned last week, faith is fantastic adventures in trusting Him. And sometimes those adventures can be a little scary. Faith requires courage. And then faith requires concentration on Christ. Peter looked at the wind, and that's when he began to sink. He looked away. He was exercising his faith with great results. He was walking on water, man. Wow. But then he started to look elsewhere instead of at Christ, and he began to sink. Hebrews 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Keep our eyes on Jesus. It's like a dog watching a ball that you're going to throw for him to catch or chase after. Any of you have a dog like that? Now, our dog's getting kind of old, and so he doesn't track the ball very much anymore. But when he was young, and you had a ball, I mean, it didn't matter where you're going. It's like laser focus on that ball. That's the kind of concentration we need on Christ. Keep our eyes on him. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, and it says, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. He wasn't just looking at his present circumstances, but he was looking beyond to what God had promised. Since he was in strange, unfamiliar territory, he had to keep his eyes on the Lord. So he saw past his circumstances to the preferable future that God had promised. He was concentrating on the Lord. D.L. Moody says, take courage. We walk in the wilderness today and in the promised land tomorrow. Some of you just need to hear that. You might be walking in the wilderness today. But one day, very soon, you're going to be walking in the promised land. Keep your focus on the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. You're familiar with it, I'm sure. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then he admits, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He had his eyes on the goal. If you've ever been in a sporting event like track, you've got to keep your eyes on the goal. Soccer. There's a goal. Football, there's a goal. Even basketball, there's a goal. Got to keep your eyes on that. Focus on that. Faith requires concentration on Christ. There's confidence in the calling, there's courage in your conduct, and there's concentration on Christ. And the power of faith really comes with the combination of God's call and my courage. Let me try to elaborate a little bit. Some emphasize just the courage component. You know, just believe and be bold. But what are you believing? You see, is it something God promised or is it just wishful thinking? Yeah, God didn't promise me a Humvee, so I can't just be super courageous, believing in that God's going to give me a Humvee. He didn't promise me that. Okay? But when God promises I'll meet all your needs, then I can stand on that and know that God will meet all my needs. It's the combination of what God has said and how I respond. That's when faith really comes to life. Without God's call, my courage is meaningless. It's the combination of the two that works. So when I've heard from the Lord clearly and then act courageously on it, that's when things really work. And it's the concentration component that keeps it working for the long haul. Okay? Let me illustrate again. Some of you have heard this before because you've been here a long time. Others are newer. But when I was called to be the lead pastor, I was very content being the associate pastor. I did not want to be the lead pastor. In fact, when the time came and there was a transition in process, I resisted. I was looking for 100 other options because I did not want to be a lead pastor. But God took us through a process, and I think, and it was kind of lengthy even, and I think part of the reason for the lengthy process was so that I would have confidence in my calling. Because if I just jumped, I'm not sure where my confidence would land, but because I went through a process of resisting and God kept on insisting, you know, resist and insist, those kind of are against each other, God won. And so then that makes me confident in my calling because I've wrestled with God through that. And once I had confidence, then it was easier to step out with courage in my conduct and begin obeying the call and actually working as a lead pastor. Because I knew that I knew that I knew that this is what God called me to do. Because I didn't want to. He made me. So now I'm more confident because it wasn't my idea, it was his. And now, to keep things working right, I have to have concentration on Christ. Because if not, then I might lose my courage in my conduct, or I might lose my confidence in my calling if I don't stay focused on Christ. So it's all of these things. These are the components that make faith complete. I believe that God has given a calling to Open Bible Church of Boone. And some of what we envision for the future is simply about things that we want. And we've even published these things like we want to have the best kids and youth programs in the area. We do. We want to raise up leaders, ministers, and missionaries. We want to be a warm and friendly church with real unity. And I think those are all good things, and they're even biblical things, but I think that there are some things that God has said very specifically to Open Bible Church of Boone. Let me hit the highlights. In 1994, a guest minister prophesied that our church would continue to grow and be a place where people would come and get refreshed with something genuine from the Lord. In 2002, another guest minister prophesied that there would be a new level of authority in praying for the sick and a great revival will flow from this church. In 2004, a guest minister prophesied that God has more in store for us and he's taking us one step at a time. In 2007, Naomi and I were visiting a church, and a person prophesied to us that revival would come out of this place and that we would experience God in power. In 2017, at a conference during altar ministry, the speaker prophesied to us that God has something more in store for us that is more than we have ever imagined. And then in 2018, a friend prophesied to me that we would be a church that releases people into ministry and would be a hub for all the ministry that God has in mind. And he concluded with these words, "There are greater things in store." I have these things on record with specific dates so I can remind myself of what God has promised specifically to us. And these reminders encourage my confidence in the calling. Because I can go back and read what so-and-so said in 1994. And somebody else said in 2002. And somebody else said in 2007. These are things that God has specifically spoken. So they build my confidence. And then as we begin to see some of these things happening, it emboldens me to have more courage. See, God is doing it. He's doing what he promised. And there are some things that I didn't specifically quote today, but there are things that God has promised that we have seen fulfilled. There are elements that have already come to pass. And so then that builds my courage. And I don't want to lose sight of what God has said and where God is leading. And so I try hard to concentrate on Christ and keep moving forward with him. What about you? I understand when the promises are long in coming, it's easy to be discouraged, for sure. No doubt about it. Because there are some of these things that we're spoken many years ago and not fully fulfilled yet. And I have my moments where, God, did you really say that? But that's why I have them on record. Those are quotes from somebody. It's not just what I think they said. It's an actual quote. They said this on this date. So God really said it. But the wait can be discouraging. So we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. And God may have given you some promise, and you're still waiting for the fulfillment. I want you to be confident in your calling and be courageous and keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be people of faith, confident in our calling, courage in our conduct, and concentration on Christ. Simply put, I'm with the disciples and say, Lord, increase my faith. That's what they said. That's where I'm at. I know God has said some things in the scripture. He's also said some things very personally to me and to our church. And I'm looking for those things to be fulfilled. So God, increase my faith. Increase my faith. And bring it to pass. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many great and precious promises. We're not just kind of floundering out here wishfully hoping for maybe something, but you have given us very specific promises that we can stand on. So Lord, help us to be confident in what you've said. And Lord, help us to be courageous in following what you have said and to keep our eyes on you no matter what. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. We know that you are faithful to your promises and you never fail. So help us, Lord, to have faith like little Blessing has. God keeps his promises. Help us to be people of faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like prayer this morning, perhaps you're kind of wrestling with a calling. I'd like to pray with you. Or you just don't know for sure what the next step is, or whatever, anything possibly related to this, just come meet me here at the front. I'll be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, everybody, you're dismissed. Have a great week. Go with God. Walk in faith.